is What's Next from American Security Project. I'm Maggie Feldman-Pilch. Today, I'm joined by Keith Eichscheid. Did I say it correctly?
Eichscheid.
All right. And Ashley Chang, both from USTDA. Ashley is USTDA's Director for Public Engagement, and Keith is the Country Manager in the Latin America and Caribbean region. USTDA is the U.S. Trade and Development Agency. And I think a great first question, Ashley, would be, what is USTDA? Because not everyone, like we are at ASP, is so crazy about you guys.
What? It's not a household name? Well, my mission is to make it so. So we are a foreign assistance agency that links U.S. businesses to global infrastructure opportunities. We do that by working exclusively in emerging markets, and we have priority sectors that are transportation, telecommunications, and energy, or the energy-water nexus.
Gotcha. So what is it that you guys actually do specifically to connect businesses to opportunities in these different sectors?
So we link U.S. companies to infrastructure opportunities in emerging economies by providing access, opportunity, and support. Basically, those are buzzwords for the fact that the access is that we will host workshops or meetings overseas or in the U.S., and we will bring delegations of businesses and people from different ministries to the U.S. to visit U.S. technologies, meet with our companies, and to hopefully build a relationship and make that sale. So with the opportunity, we also provide grant funding for feasibility studies, pilot projects, and technical assistance. And the support side of things is the fact that we try to make U.S. businesses here aware of contracting opportunities with businesses overseas and with the agency.
Gotcha. And so just for those that are interested and have never heard of USTDA, this is all on your website, right? So if someone wants to find out what kind of opportunities are available, they just put into Google USTDA and it's all there, right?
Absolutely. And actually, thank you so much for bringing that up. We are a small agency. There's only 55 of us, but we are very proud of the fact that we try to put every opportunity up online and send it out to our businesses. So the best way would be to look at USTDA.gov/events.
Gotcha.
And then you can also click on a very clearly labeled business opportunities tab.
Great. So, Keith, as country manager for Latin America and the Caribbean region, which is obviously more than one country, you kind of make what Ashley's talking about happen. What does that look like on the ground?
Absolutely. Thanks, Maggie. And Ashley did cover exactly what we do in general. But in terms of actual specifics, I can give a recent example.
Yeah.
I just got back from Panama 2 weeks ago, and I was checking in on some of the projects we've invested in lately, one of them being in the area of smart grid, which is actually a great area where they can make more efficient use of the energy resources they have without adding additional generation capacity, because it takes a lot of money to build a new power plant. So a U.S. company called Inovari, and they're out of Austin, Texas, they identified a partner in-country, a utility there called ENSA. And they are a distribution and electric utility. So what I was able to see on the ground was the installation of Inovari's technology on site, because we funded a pilot project.
Mm-hmm.
And the pilot project is demonstrating this technology on the energy efficiency side. And I saw it operate in this commercial operation. They were able to control the energy use from a smartphone.
Wow.
And
oh, that's so cool.
I saw the old switches that they used to use to control lighting and the air conditioning system, which, of course, it's Panama. You need both of those,
yeah.
especially the air conditioning. And really, they can make a more efficient use of their energy resources. So they're utilizing this pilot as a demonstration of this technology, as I mentioned, in the hopes that then, if it works well for this utility,
mm-hmm.
Inovari will be able to sell their entire solution throughout the utility.
Great.
And the utility serves a lot of customers in Panama City and outside of the Panama City. So it's a great way. Our program, we're able to enable that access for that U.S. company to get into that market. It's their first venture into Panama.
Wow.
And so this is a great way to demonstrate their technology.
Absolutely. So it sounds like not only are you connecting a U.S. business to a market it hasn't had access to before, you're doing it at a really interesting leverage point, right, at energy efficiency. And I can't help but wonder, without this project, right, you talked a little bit about those old switches they were using. What is it like to see the change, you know, right in front of you, here it is, and what is that impact like?
Well, it's great to see in person. I mean, we can obviously fund a lot of great projects, but you really get a sense when you're on the ground with the client, with the project sponsor themselves. And that's the most rewarding part, because then they're the ones who are able to tell us, this has been the impact, this is what our vision for our future is, and we're there to help them, and we're able them to access this U.S. technology. And so, yeah, it really brings it forward. It's a very exciting way to see it on the ground. Obviously, we do a lot of projects, but it really takes it at the ground level, and you can see the potential that's there.
Absolutely. And when you kind of take a step back and think about, okay, so here's a U.S. business working in Panama, it's strengthening a relationship. And I know, obviously, Vice President Biden was recently in Panama, and I wonder if you can talk a little bit about CEFCA and kind of that work as well.
Yeah, absolutely. This fits in well with the initiatives that are coming out of the Vice President's office. You mentioned CEFCA, which is the Clean Energy Finance Facility for the Caribbean and Central America. Mm-hmm. And this was announced by President Obama on his way down to the Summit of the Americas last year.
Okay.
And this is a way to really foster energy security in those two critical regions, because they really rely on imported fuels, oils, gases.
Right.
And so therefore, how can we as a government partner our resources and gather our resources to support them in diversifying their energy matrix and getting more native and basically in-country sources of energy, such as renewable energy? There's obviously great potential for solar.
Yeah.
There's obviously great potential for wind and even geothermal, which takes
Absolutely.
A little time for work, but a lot of the Caribbean islands and throughout Central America, there's great opportunity for geothermal. So this CEFCA fund that's been catalyzed will catalyze a lot of investment in both the private and public sector to really get these projects off the ground. And therefore, then they're able to increase their energy security, not rely or depend on these imports, which obviously fluctuate in price quite a bit. And it's a great part for them to really prepare for the future and have more energy that they generate themselves.
Yeah, I know you obviously work widely across the region. I'd love to hear about what you guys are doing in Haiti.
Yeah, that's another area where another country where we've partnered throughout the years. When, for example, Haiti has quite a different situation than Panama. Their needs are in a sense a lot more basic, and that
right.
was really exacerbated by the tragic 2010 earthquake.
Right.
What TDA had done, and I actually traveled there myself in 2005, we funded one of these project preparation studies for the electricity utility there in order to plan for their future investments in generation, transmission, and distribution of electricity. And because basically there was about 4 to 6 hours that they had of reliable energy during the day. So there's obviously
wow.
was a critical need
yeah.
for both businesses, homes throughout Haiti.
Just basic services, hospitals, first responders, you know, government. How can civil society even function without power?
Exactly. And so it's such a critical need for basic human needs and development and economic development that we were able to provide an investment to look at this entire sector. And that created a great plan for them to invest in their future. And that actually, as I mentioned, after the earthquake was an even more critical need. So we funded a second study to update our original study to really look at the rehabilitation of the
right.
damaged infrastructure in the electricity side, such as the electricity substations throughout the country,
yeah.
Transmission lines that were, of course, damaged by the earthquake. So there's a real tangible way that our support was able to help Haiti rebuild after the earthquake. And on the U.S. side, there were U.S. companies that got involved in that, and they were able to export
right.
their rehabilitation services, their consulting services, their transformers. So it was a great win-win, you know, for Haiti, of course, to get electricity back and
right.
and also for U.S. companies to be involved in that redevelopment.
Yeah, and it's a great kind of microcosm of what energy security means, right? Because without with only 4 to 6 hours of power a day, when you don't have reliable infrastructure, rule of law, all of those things, I mean, how you can't even begin to imagine how that starts.
More recently in Haiti, we're funding now a study, a project preparation to develop microgrids there, because obviously you've got a lot of rural towns that need electricity as well. So we've obviously done the basic infrastructure, helped them with the basic infrastructure of generation, transmission and distribution. But now we're looking at a way to utilize microgrids and distributed generation in 40 Haiti towns. As a way to provide them with the electricity that they need without connecting them via national grid. And so this is really happening in southwest Haiti as we speak. So that's another way that we're contributing to the energy security of these towns throughout Haiti.
So a lot of these projects are very exciting and sound incredibly interesting, especially to someone who knows so very little about energy, at least technology-wise. So what are kind of some trends and hot topics, I guess, that you're seeing across projects?
Yeah, some of the emerging technologies that we're seeing in this space, in this energy space, I would like to highlight two. One is energy storage, and the other would be the nexus between energy and water. And so, of course, energy storage is important for renewable energies to come online because solar and water resources are intermittent. So if you can store that energy during off-peak hours, then you can provide a more continuous flow of energy. And so it's more like geothermal or thermal energy. And so that just helps countries that we're working with adopt these technologies.
Right.
And U.S. companies have great expertise in the energy storage area. And actually, just over the last week or so, we've brought a delegation from all around the world to meet with U.S. energy storage companies, and they attended the Energy Storage Association's conference in North Carolina.
Which is very interesting and not at all surprising to me, because it's great for me to hear the geothermal is something that's happening. I mean, years ago now, my parents turned our house geothermal. And
what?
Who knew? Like, who does that? So I'm like, wow, this is a real technology. That's great.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, this energy storage is an emerging way where these countries want to learn from the United States, from our companies, what kind of solutions, technologies can they incorporate into their renewable energy plants to help them really incorporate these technologies.
And since we're really driven by private sector demands, this is an area where U.S. businesses are excelling at, and they have technologies that are really leading the world, and we're helping them get out there. In fact, this energy storage delegation that he's talking about is one of three we had come through the U.S. in the last 2 months.
Wow.
So a very hot topic lately for all the utilities that we're working with, and It's great.
And more on this water energy nexus. My brain wants to say water security nexus because, frankly, they just sound interchangeable, but I'm sure you'll talk about that.
Absolutely. Another thing that we're seeing under CEFCA, actually, is, well, there's obviously renewable energy that can come online, but on the energy efficiency side, we found that in talking to our partners overseas that water utilities really use a lot of electricity, a lot of energy. And so that really impacts their ability to provide water service, which is critical. And so we're able to work with them on this nexus and try to help them make more efficient use of the energy that they do use. Mm-hmm. And so we're bringing another delegation next month from Central America and the Caribbean of water utilities to the U.S. to look at energy efficient water plants that we have here, wastewater plants, and also talk about perhaps some power generation that they could do themselves. And so again, the high cost of electricity in some of these countries is really not only affecting just basic provision of electricity,
it
impacts all basic utilities such as water.
Absolutely.
And so this is a way that we can really do something concrete, introduce them to U.S. companies who have solutions in this area, and then also visit some great plants in the northeast of the United States to see where the cutting edge of this is.
Very cool. And, you know, as I listen to you talk about these trade delegations and these projects you're working on, I can't help but wonder, how do you decide, right? What gets picked, what doesn't? Because I can only imagine the number of proposals you receive is a little much, maybe, for 55 people to handle alone.
Absolutely. We do get a lot of requests. There's a lot of need out there. And so we really want to stick to our mission and pick the projects and the activities that we think will have the greatest return on investment. Mm. That return being, what kind of exports can we generate from the U.S.? And two, what type of development, what kind of impact can we have on the infrastructure
Absolutely.
In these countries? So it is a very competitive, we can be very choosy, and therefore we have a very strict screening process, and we actually have a small business, we have small businesses experts. We hire them as consultants to help us vet these projects. Because again, we're only 50 government employees, and so therefore we utilize the private sector to help us vet these projects and get them prepared. They know their field, they know the projects, and they're great partners of ours.
We're also incredibly data-driven, so the simple fact that we do, a lot of our projects are on the early project planning side, so it takes some time for them to be mapped out, get financing, and get to the exports and completion stage. So in order to really see the impact of our efforts, we'll track a project for 10 years after the fact that it's come through.
That's and knowing that many of these projects are at such an early stage, it really underscores how incredible the ROI is, right? Because you're really playing long ball, which is not something we're great at always when it comes to our strategy.
And I would say that we're the exception.
Yeah, I would say so too.
and it's critical in infrastructure. You want to build something that's going to last.
Absolutely.
And be done in the right way, because these are huge investments for the countries. And so we help them plan for these huge investments.
Absolutely. I can't help but remember when the director of USTDA, Leocodia Zach, was in the very room we are in now for an electricity conference and so eloquently said, and I repeat this quotation to everyone, bad things happen in the dark. And it's so true. And you're right. You have to think long term because, you know, with only 4 to 6 hours of power a day, like you're relying on in Haiti at one point, really, how else can good grow? So can you talk a little bit more about the specific role USTDA has in CEFCA and what that means for the different kinds of projects you look at, how you measure them, what kind of impact you're aiming for?
Under CEFCA, USTDA is partnering with our intergovernment agency partners under the initiative, which are the U.S. Department of State, the Overseas Private Investment Corporation.
Our neighbors, OPIC, right across the hall.
Also with the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. So along with us, we're the four partners within this CEFCA initiative. And this year we've got $10 million to invest in clean energy projects throughout the Caribbean and Central America. So as part of the last week's summit, Energy Security Summit, that was hosted here in Washington, D.C., we announced, the U.S. government announced, that there's a notice for funding opportunity. We're actively seeking applications and receiving a lot of interest. So over the next several months, we'll be announcing some great projects that we're funding under this initiative in many of the countries throughout the region.
And Keith, sorry to interrupt there, but Keith makes a really interesting point. I think one of the themes that you're hearing is renewable energy, and we're really proud at TDA that over half of our portfolio last year was dedicated to renewable power generation, everything from wind to solar to hydro and geothermal and more, just because we've really found that you can have an incredible impact overseas, but it's really U.S. technology that's driving the innovation and driving that impact. And it's just, for us on our end, we have the incredible opportunity to link that technology to that impact.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting kind of group you guys have, right? USAID, OPIC, yourselves, and State. And obviously, you do a great deal of work together, but you're sort of like the silent ninjas, right?
Silent
of U.S.
ninjas.
Business abroad and some really interesting, exciting work that if you're familiar with one of those agencies, you're likely familiar with all of them. And, you know, the U.S. government and its all of its bureaucracy often gets a bad rap, you know, for not being so efficient. But I know that's not actually the case with you all, that your impact is significantly outsized kind of compared to your bureaucracy, I say in quotes. So when you see, I guess, how do you measure your impact in various places? And do you ever find yourself kind of doing the research of what it would mean if this project hadn't taken place? You know, where would this community or country or city be?
Absolutely. We have a robust program monitoring and evaluation department at USTDA. And so given our name, the Trade and Development Agency, we measure both the trade impact for the U.S. and also the development impact for the host countries, our partner countries. So on the trade side, of course, we look at the U.S. exports that we're able to catalyze through our investment. And so the numbers that they look today, since we track them, it's basically for every dollar we're investing in these projects, we get $74 back in U.S. exports.
Wow.
So it's a great return on investment for the U.S. taxpayer.
That's incredible. $74 for every wow.
And actually, I have to jump in here. 7 or 8 years ago, that number was 1 in 35, which was still incredible.
Incredible, but
over the course of this administration, we've doubled our output for exports.
Wow. I mean, doubled your output in 7 to 8 years, and for it to be $1 to 74 is really... there are tons of people in the private sector who would love that ROI. You know, maybe they should come talk to you.
Well, I think we take a private sector approach to everything that we do. For example, we are small and we can't be everywhere at once. So we do a strategic plan every year to figure out which countries we can have the biggest impact, which countries do U.S. businesses want to invest in, but maybe actually just need something to help mitigate that risk. And what are the sectors that we really can have the biggest impact? And so while we are capable of a wide variety of projects and we do the whole spectrum, we do focus our efforts on where the biggest bang for buck is, and that really is transportation, energy, and telecommunications for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so on the development side, we also measure that impact in the countries that we work in. And so that's really how many megawatts of electricity, of power generation, are we able to catalyze through our investment? On the climate side, how are we helping the countries limit their emissions on greenhouse gases?
Yeah.
So we're able to really also measure a development impact of our program, the Forest Assistance Program. So it is that dual mission that we're able to really emphasize for each project that we do.
And what do you think success looks like for USTDA? Is it based on, you know, a mission for the entire organization, or is it very project specific?
I'd say it's both.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, we stay true to our mission to promote U.S. exports and also to help economic development in the countries that we work in and we partner with. But success to me at the country manager level is when I invest, that when you invest in a project that actually gets financed and then built, and that it's a success for the project sponsors that we partner with. So it is those things where if you're able to, say, help develop a solar project, that solar power plant gets built, that it comes online, that it provides clean energy, and therefore it takes some less clean energy offline for that country. So it increases energy security. And at the same time, U.S. companies then are participating in that. They're selling their goods, they're selling their technologies, and so it's really great to see a success is when that has those dual outcomes, as they were, where you have U.S. companies benefiting from this development, that they're participating, they're entering new markets, and you have the host country really developing, building a project.
So let's zoom out to kind of like the 50,000 foot level, and either talking about what you mentioned in Haiti or in Panama, let's say 10, 15 years from now, either of those projects, both of those projects are successful. And maybe in Panama, that means that, you know, that pilot technology we're talking about is now across the utility. What do you think that looks like for the utility and for the country?
So for the utility, it means that they are not paying more money to get generated energy. They're making more efficient use of their resources that they already have. There's a lot of hydropower already in Panama, and that, of course, is subject to climate changes. Perhaps there's less rain a year, and so therefore it really impacts their ability to provide electricity to their customers. So if they're able to make through this technology more efficient use of their resources, electricity resources, control the demand at certain peaks, then they can do a better job of serving their customers. That's really their goal as a private company, to provide that service, to make money themselves. So that's what success looks like for them, is that they're going to be able to make more. They're able to do more with less.
Right.
And
isn't that success for everyone?
And looking at the broader picture for Panama at a national level, obviously one of the greatest news stories this year in Panama will be the opening of the new set of locks for the Panama Canal.
Right.
So that inauguration will take place in June. And what part of that expansion is that the new locks, the new canal that they're building, will actually be able to help them carry LNG tankers through the canal for the first time.
Wow.
So this liquefied natural gas can then be passed through the canal. And so actually we're partnering with the Panama Canal Authority through one of our project preparation grants to help them utilize this LNG as it comes through the canal. And maybe they'll be able to use it domestically for power generation, do more gas-fired power, which would be cleaner than some of the heavy oil that's being used on the thermal side. And it's a case where then they can diversify their energy matrix. It'll be renewables, it'll be gas-fired, it'll be great. And it also dovetails and fits well with our other investment in Panama currently, which is to help develop the first geothermal power plant there.
Cool.
So you can see a real good mix of energy efficiency, smart grid, liquefied natural gas, and then also renewable like geothermal. And so that really helps to diversify the matrix, helps improve the energy security in Panama as they look to the future. There's just a lot of growth there and a lot of excitement.
Yeah, and it sounds like really strong footing. Well, Keith Eichad, the country manager for Latin America and the Caribbean, and Ashley Chang, director of public engagement for USTDA, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you very much, Meg.